Holy Gospel is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. If you love me, hold on to my commands. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. You know him because he stays with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The one who has my commands and holds on to them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and show myself to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen. Are you still celebrating Easter? You might be wondering if Pastor Gum forgot to look at the calendar today. I mean, it's May 14th, and the italic words that come right after that on the calendar, it doesn't say Easter Sunday, it says Mother's Day. Don't worry, I didn't forget. Yet even today, in mid-May, we are still celebrating Easter. And with the exception of how our church is decorated, with the exception of the occasional Easter hymn that we have in our services during this season, or the Easter responses that we have, you'd think that day 46 of the Easter season, day 46 of 50, we would finally start bringing this plane in for a landing. We would finally start winding down our celebrations and getting ready to move on. Now, if you look at the world around us, of course, they're not thinking about Easter anymore. I mean, you go to the stores, they're getting ready for Memorial Day, July 4th, waiting for the tents to be out soon for all the fireworks. And of course, on this particular day, people are thinking about Mother's Day rather than Easter Sunday, or maybe not. If they're not thinking about that, they're definitely thinking about graduations, not hallelujahs. Perhaps the same could be said about you and me. You know, it's late spring, it's early summer, the temperatures are going up, and for those of us having anything to do with school right now, we're in that can't wait for school to end at the end of this week and get into summer vacation mode. So why bother celebrating Easter when everyone else in the world around us has moved on? We continue celebrating because of the love of the living Christ, the lasting, everlasting love of the living Christ. And today, Jesus reminds us what his love has done for us. Today, we are reminded that we live in a world that doesn't understand what Easter joy is, or that doesn't understand why Easter is really, that Easter joy lasts far longer than just that service or two we happen to go to on Easter Sunday. And as Jesus encourages his disciples, he encourages our Easter joy to continue no matter the time of year, whether it's April 9th, Easter Sunday, whether it's mid-May, whether it's the middle of July, or in the wintertime in November or January. Even as summer is about to begin, it's important for us to remember this. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Now, the night Jesus was betrayed, his disciples were in no mood to rejoice. They didn't realize the great things God was about to do starting that very night. Instead, Jesus had been speaking about suffering. He was talking about death, all these things he was going to endure. And naturally, those disciples were pretty discouraged. They had no idea what Jesus was going to endure, but all of it to them seemed bad. But even as they were troubled, Jesus gave his disciples this comfort. I am going to prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. We heard about that last week. We heard about last week how Jesus taught his disciples and teaches us to find in him the only way to the only truth that alone gives life. He wanted his disciples to realize that he was there to do so much more than just be their teacher. He was there to do so much more than be their friend. He was there to actually save them. Yet Jesus tells his disciples, if you love me, hold on to my commands. Sounds simple, right? We love Jesus, right? So it should be easy. This is no problem. Just do the right thing, make the right choices, have the right priorities all the right time. You know, do the moral thing all the time. That should be easy. right? Seems easy until you consider what each and every disciple sitting around that table of Jesus was by nature, and what each and every disciple sitting in this room right now or watching online is by nature. By nature, every single one of us has done the exact opposite of holding on to Jesus' commands. I mean, by nature, you and I refuse to obey God's commands, God's holy will, whether that's out of willful disobedience or whether that's out of an ignorance of doing the right thing or a lack of obedience. With the rest of humanity, we all prefer to do our own thing, to reject God's holy will in favor of our own. Now, none of those disciples in the upper room deserved a Savior from their hostile disobedience, and none of the disciples here in this room deserve it either. But the truth is, you and I still desperately need a Savior, whether we want Him or not. We need Him. Our natural hostility, our natural disobedience towards God only show how truly enslaved we are to sin and Satan and death. I mean, you're like a prisoner shackled in a dark dungeon, and Satan is holding you captive, and he's tormenting you, torturing you with temptations to lust or to envy or greed or arrogance or whatever button he knows how to press with you. And then he tortures you with guilt when you do actually give in to that temptation. At the same time, death, the dark executioner, broods nearby, waiting to snatch your life away from you at a moment's notice and take it away forever. Of course, any attempts to polish your spiritual appearance before God, to hide those shackles of sin and death, to hide those shackles with outward appearances that may impress the people around you, but they don't impress the all-knowing God, that only accomplishes one of two things. Trying to do that either deludes you with self-righteousness or it overwhelms you with despair. Ultimately, such slavery to sin and Satan will drag you into eternal separation from God and His love in hell. That is your rightful lot. That is my rightful lot, because our sins only earn death. We deserve to be cast away from God's eternal presence forever. Now, in the hymn we just sang, or we sang it in parts over the course of the earlier part of the service, Martin Luther describes with stark clarity what our actual situation is. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day. Yet deep and deeper still I fell. Life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me. My will against God's judgment fought, no hope for me remaining. My fears increased till sheer despair left only death to be my share and hell to be my sentence. You and I deserve nothing but God's holy judgment. We deserve nothing but God's condemnation and wrath. And God saw your awful situation. He saw mine. And how did He respond? He responded with love. Why did Jesus come to earth? Why do you find Him lying helpless in a manger bed? Why do you find Him growing up in the home of a poor family? Why do you find Him enduring great temptation from Satan, hostility from religious leaders who should have known better, and abandonment from His own followers? Why do you find Jesus leaving that upper room to endure betrayal and suffering and ridicule and rejection and the rejection by not just by people but by Heavenly Father, or enduring the death of a criminal or being buried in a borrowed tomb? Why do you find Jesus enduring your death? I mean, was it to be a moral example for all of us? Was Jesus trying to be a great teacher who is the expert on the subject of humiliation and suffering for the greater good? Or Jesus come to live in perfection for you, for me, for all of us who can't even get through a worship service perfectly or fully awake? Why did Jesus come to suffer the excruciating hell of separation from God's love that we, His mortal enemies, deserve? He came to die so you might live. He rose from the dead so you might abandon your own grave someday. The Apostle John, he explains it this way. This is how God's love for us was revealed. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we may live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Father gave his dearest treasure. We sang that earlier. The Father gave his dearest treasure, his one and only Son, his only begotten Son for you. There was nothing more dear to our Heavenly Father than the life of Christ himself. And he gave that, he sacrificed that for you. Jesus set you free from the slavery of Satan, sin, and death. He fulfilled his Father's holy will by taking on your human flesh. He became your brother. He became your servant. He became your substitute. He died that you might live. He lives again that you might enjoy his life forever. And his love forever. That night in the upper room, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. He knew why he had come. He came to show you the full extent of his everlasting love. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to endure. And yet Jesus also knew what the outcome would be. That's how he could reassure the troubled hearts of his disciples that night. They were anxious, they were fearful, they were worried, and yet Jesus could assure them. He could assure them because Jesus does not leave his followers abandoned as orphans. Instead, he provides heavenly assurance. I mean, within a couple hours, these disciples were going to lose their Lord, their master, their teacher. They were going to lose him. And what does Jesus do? He takes them to the comfort of Easter. He lifts their eyes to what's going to happen on Easter Sunday. He says, I am coming to you in a little while. The world will see me no longer, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Yes, within a couple of days of Jesus saying these words, his public appearances were going to come to an end. But Jesus, the living Jesus, was going to appear to his followers on Easter Sunday and again and again and again over the 40 days that followed. There would be no doubt of his resurrection and there would be no doubt of theirs as well. So what comfort does that give you? How does that fill you with joy as we near the end of this Easter season? Jesus promised to make it possible for you to see him even after he visibly departed heaven. I mean, Jesus promised, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. After his visible return to heaven, Jesus promised to pour out his Holy Spirit on his faithful followers. The Holy Spirit now brings Christ comfort. He brings Christ peace. He brings Christ counsel to you through his word. The Holy Spirit provides forgiveness. He provides new life. He provides salvation as he brings new life to the dead souls through baptism. As Christ gives you his body and blood with bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins in his Holy Supper. Through that good news, the Holy Spirit imparts heavenly wisdom to all who follow Christ. As Jesus promised, the Spirit is your source for comfort, for help, for truth. The Spirit teaches you to know and follow Jesus, and only with that Spirit's help can any of us follow and serve Christ. With the Spirit's help, you respond with loving obedience. Jesus told his disciples, "The one who has my commands and holds on to them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I too will love him and show myself to him." Only after the Spirit works in your heart through the gospel can you love Jesus. With the Spirit's help through that word, you can know what the will of Christ is. You can obey that will. He doesn't force you to do so. He doesn't make you do it out of fear. He doesn't pressure you into following him. No, in loving response, loving thanks for what Christ has done for you, you willingly obey God's will. And that means that what Jesus lived and taught becomes your life. Becomes the foundation of your faith. So now with the Spirit's help, you can have a self-sacrificing, Christ-like love for everyone, even for people who are very much unlike you, or perhaps even think differently than you. With the Spirit's help, you can look at every person as a soul for whom Jesus died as he did for you. You could see each soul as someone practically having a blood red cross on their forehead, marking them as one for whom Jesus died and who needs that good news, who needs the love of Christ. With the Spirit's help, you can have the boldness to share the good news of Jesus with others, even if it comes through fumbling, stumbling lips. That's okay. You can tell them why Christ's love matters to you and why it's so vitally important for them. With the Spirit's help, you can stand up for the truth of God's word when others oppose it or when others twist it to say something God did not say. You can even stand up to ridicule and rejection from others. You can submit to God's word when what you have to hear in God's word is hard for your own ears to hear. With the Spirit's help, you can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and live each day not for yourself, but for Him. With the Spirit's help, Christ's will becomes yours. Yes, it has been 46 days. We're on day 46 of the season of Easter. The church season comes to an end technically on Thursday, but we'll celebrate it next weekend. Even so, your Easter joy continues long after this church season is just a memory. Because of the wonders God has done through Christ your Savior, you have a new relationship with God. Because of what God has done for you through Christ, you have every reason to rejoice. God in His undying love for you has provided the Savior you so desperately need. So what else can you do than live that joy in Christ every day, assured that heaven will be yours someday? My friends, rejoice because Christ is risen. Amen.